yung buntag sa tanan. O Merry Christmas Day, no, in advance. Anyway, I praise God for this privilege given to me to share His word to you this morning. Shall we all stand once again as we read God's word in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. Beginning in verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Dear God, we humbly come in your presence before your throne of your grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for giving us such privilege and opportunity, Lord God, as sinners saved by grace, to stand before you. And it's because of what Jesus did on the cross, Lord, that we are now worthy to come before you. And you know, Lord God, deep within our heart, if there's something that troubles us, to come before you, or even, Lord God, opening this heart before you, Lord, we ask forgiveness, O God, of all the sins that we did, Lord God. And so, Lord, as this morning, Lord, we just want to soak our presence upon your presence, Lord. And so, Lord, help us, Lord God, that your word might minister to each one of us, to humble ourselves and to open our heart to your word, Lord God. And use your servant, Lord, to proclaim your message, Lord. That this message, Lord God, is not my message, but your message, Lord God. So that, Lord, whatever we're going to hear, Lord God, we will put it in our heart and into practice, Lord God. So, Lord, my prayer as we leave this place, Lord God, that you will use us to manifest your presence to all the world, to all nations, to all people around us, Lord. And so my prayer, Lord God, let your Holy Spirit, Lord, speak to us. Move us, Lord. So, Lord, we just entrust to you everything, Lord God. And whatever we're going to achieve, Lord, all the glory and praise belongs to you alone. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may now sit. You know what? The first person that crossed my mind with regard about missions is Jim Elliot. And it was my first encounter with him as I watch, no? I'm fun watching movie. That's my hobby. So that's my first encounter when I watched the movie entitled End of the Spear. That really moved my heart to be a missionary. And in his letter, Jim wrote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And what makes me so passionate about missions is because of the story of Jim and together with his four missionary partners and their wives who were martyred in bringing the gospel to the Aucas tribe, a small and fierce and rich people in the jungle. And such a passionate, burning desire that led him and his fellow missionaries to bring the gospel to the tribe in order for them to hear the gospel. But sadly, it cost their lives and they were found dead in the river, killed by the spears. So church, why do we need to talk about missions in our church here? Especially as part of our core values, that we are a missional church. Well, some of you might say, you're not a missionary, so this topic may not apply to you, or maybe you're not interested in this topic because of over-familiarity and overdose of information about missions. But let me tell you, the world are made up of approximately 16,000 different people groups, over 6,000 whom still classified as unreached with the gospel. So the question, don't you care about the lost? Or are you thinking about others who are not yet part of God's kingdom? Or do you think about the unreached people groups? You know what? As we continue to journey with the core values of our church, my prayer is that this series of preaching and sermons might not be another forgotten message, but rather, this series of preaching will affect the way we think about our God, our church, and the way we live our lives in accordance in His will, with His will, guided by the Holy Spirit and His Word. So it is my task to share with you the topic about a missional church. Therefore, my fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, let me inform and encourage you that we are a missional church. Amen? We are a missional church. It means we are not a church with missions, but a church of mission. Again, we are not a church with missions, but a church of missions. Because when we do missions work, we don't do it for the sake of doing it, or because that's what we think is the right thing to do. But rather, we do missions because that's who we are, a church of missions. Simply means that missions isn't just another functions or programs of our church. Because being a missional church is what and who we are. Again, maybe you might think that missions is only the work of Pastor Jed because he is the missions pastor. Or maybe Pastor TJ or the pastor of this church and the missionaries or the missions team. But missions is what we do as a church, as a believer and follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. So every single one of us, every individual who believes and follows our risen Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, must be involved in missions work. Because the Great Commission is not an option, but a command that we should follow. And it's not just for some, but for all. So missions, by the way, is a privilege, an opportunity given to each one of us, sinners, saved by grace, to proclaim the kingdom of God. Fulfilling God's great commission is a joyful journey of obedience to preach the gospel, to go and preach the gospel and make disciples, seeing every individual, every sinner turn to Jesus and receive Him as their Lord and Savior. So, may our passage today in Luke 9, verses 57 to 62, helps us navigate our decisions to the essential truths that were laid before us by our Lord Jesus Christ for us who are truly His followers and then take part in His missions. Such a cause that is worth it. But before that, have you heard about an ordinary man in which we can refer him as a great example of radical follower of Christ and that became a catalyst of missions work in the book of Acts? And I'm sure many of us heard about him. But this man, let me tell you, is not an apostle. He is just an ordinary person. He is just a table setter to the widows. In order for the apostles to devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And he is one of the chosen to minister among the widows. But his legacy of martyrdom bring about the expanse and audacity to all believers. And imagine, during his instigation, even though he is not an apostle, he boldly preached and proclaimed the gospel. And by the way, it was a long sermon in the book of Acts in chapter 7. And that his knowledge and relationship of God doesn't keep him not to preach the gospel. And that through his death, the church were scattered. And that church go about spreading the gospel. And that's the first missional movement recorded in the Bible by an ordinary man, by an ordinary person named Stephen. Missions is a natural response to the supernatural activity of God upon our lives. Amen? Kevin DeYoung expound what it is to be a missional church. The mission of the church is summarized in the Great Commission, which is the climactic marching orders Jesus issues at the ends of the gospel and at the beginning of Acts, which I believe that the church is sent into the world to witness Jesus by proclaiming the gospel and making disciples of all nations. So this is our task. This is our unique and central calling as believers of Christ. So brothers and sisters, it is my desire as your missions pastor to articulate and try to help each one of us to view the missions of the church in ways that are more theologically faithful, exegetically careful, and personally sustainable, so that we will deal missions in God's perspective, not our perspective. His will, not our will. Expanding God's kingdom, not my kingdom, not our kingdom. So the first thing that we need to do when we think about missions, we think about the triumph God, who is a missionary God, passionately committed to spreading His glory to all nations. God is a God on mission. So we need to put in mind that the triumph God is the source, the meaning, and the motivation of missions. Howard Snyder's remarkable statement that says, "The Father has sent the Son into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit to reconcile humans and the whole creation to Himself. And since God is a missionary and the Holy Spirit has been sent forth into all the world ahead of the church, so the church's mission derives from the mission of God. As the body of Christ and the community of God's people, the church is called to proclaim and embody the good news of God's reign in all its dimensions in anticipation of the final and manifestation of God's victory through Jesus Christ." So having said that, in order for us to grasp the source, the meaning, and the motivation of missions, we need to understand the gospel. So we need to begin with the gospel and then consider what God is doing in the history. So the gospel is the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. Clearly in John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." But why does Jesus need to be crucified and put to death? It's because every one of us is a sinner, deserving of God's punishment. And the payment for sin is death. And this death isn't just speaking about the physical death, but referring to the eternal death, which is eternally separated from the presence of God and thrown to the lake of fire forever. But the good news is, by the gift of God, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the ultimate missionary, left the comforts of heaven, crossed into our world, died in our place, rose victoriously, ascended to heaven, and He will come again for the second time. Amen? And now, all who repent and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ are made right with God and given eternal life and enjoy His very presence forevermore. And you know what? Humans in every tribe, language, people, and nations are equally lost and in need of rescue from eternity in hell. And that's why Jesus died for our sake to be saved. And that is the good news. So let's consider what is God doing in history. God's redemptive plan, as He promised with Abraham, that all the families of earth shall be blessed. And Jesus, the promised offspring from Abraham's line, purchased by His blood, ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation on the cross. And right now, God is making people for Himself, both with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ from among the nations. And we call these people the church. So therefore, a missional church derives from God, who is a missionary God. And we are His instrument, the church, to proclaim and embody His presence to the world in order to fulfill the Great Commission. Amen? Again, Jesus told His disciples, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And commanded them to go and make disciples to all nations until the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So God's work in the history will be finished when all His people from every tribe and language are worshiping God in heaven. Amen? But then, since that reality does not happen yet, therefore, missions is not yet finished. We are to continue to participate with God's consummate passion for the lost and fulfill the Great Commission. As the church, we are God's instrument to manifest His presence among the unreached, unchurched, and unbelievers. John Piper profoundly says, missions exist because worship doesn't. Missions exist because worship doesn't. And that's why we do missions. Because God's presence isn't manifested or doesn't take place in such a location. And the church, that is referring to every believer, is God's vehicle to manifest His presence to the unreached, unchurched, and unbelievers. And by the way, missions isn't just sharing the gospel. It's about words and deeds that God's glory is manifested. So, we're doing this not just because this is the goal of our church, but we're doing this by the gift of God's grace that enable us to participate with His consummate passion for the unreached in the order to bring light to the world, and the church becomes God's manifold witness. However, we need to understand that the church is not merely a unit of people who gather once a week to do religious activity. Rather, the church is the community of all believers, doing everything they do in all the places of life, whether working together or separately, in every sphere of life, that we have the power at work within us, which is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. So the gospel by which God has saved us, and in the church where God placed us here in Living Word IT Park. So I believe that God also challenged us as well to such essential decisions that we need to consider as a missional church. Or let's say, as a missional Christian. Considering God's consummate passion for the lost is therefore our ultimate passion to participate to reach out the lost. Amen? So Luke 9 verses 57 to 62 gives us a clear and on-point decision to consider as a missional Christian. And the question lies with, are we going to follow Jesus with all our lives, no matter where God leads us to go, to serve, even how great the task is, or what the cost may be for us, our family, or even our church? So there are three essential decisions that we need to consider as a missional church or as a missional Christian. So tulo lang sa, because we are so limited with time. Kaya kung taas pa, daghan kayo. But let's consider these three. I hope, and my prayer, these three would impact our lives. So first, a missional church prioritizes the cross. A missional church prioritizes the cross. So going back to the story about the man who eagerly responds to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." By the way, the context of this passage was referring to the man who was a teacher of the law. And it was a customary for men like him to attach themselves to another teacher in order to promote their own status in society. And by this time, Jesus was popular. So he seemed like this man could be a candidate for such promotion. But sadly, Jesus replies, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." I know what? Beginning of the verses of this chapter, as Jesus sent out his disciples to proclaim the kingdom of God, and he said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics." In other words, if this man genuinely follows Jesus, he can expect to become homeless. He makes it clear that Christianity is not a path to more comforts, higher status, or greater ease in this world, in which the road Jesus walks is not paved with the prospect of self-advancement. Instead, it starts with a demand for self-denial. And Jesus' profound words by telling the disciples earlier in this chapter that anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In 1840s, John Gedi left the pastorate of a church in Canada to take his wife and two small children to the South Sea Island to begin a missions work there. And after a voyage of more than 20,000 miles, they arrived in the New Hebrides Islands at Antietam. The island chain was filled with cannibals, and more than 20 crew members of a British ship had been killed and eaten just months before the Gedis arrived on the mission field. So they faced the difficulty of learning a language that had no written form and the constant threat of being killed. And slowly, at first, a few converts came. And then soon, many more received the gospel. So Gedi continued his ministry faithfully, including translating the entire Bible into the native language and planting 25 churches. So, for many of those years, Gedi lived with little help and little word from home. But God was faithful to his servant. And in the pulpit of the church Gedi pastored for so many years, stands a plaque in his honor which says, "When he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. But when he left in 1872, there were no heathen." Imagine how God moved in that place. So clearly, being a missional church, we need to put in mind that prioritizing the cross over our comfort, ourself, is a requirement for following Christ. Denying oneself and prioritizing Christ. Because as we hold fast to the gospel, believing the truth in the Bible and putting it into practice will mean risking our reputation, sacrifice our social status, disagreeing with our families, our friends, even to the point that your family will persecute you because of your faith. Risking our economic security, our earthly stability, even to the point of giving up all our positions, leaving behind the fame of this world, and solely depending on where and how God leads us. And even to the point potentially losing our life for the sake of the gospel. And in that moment, these biblical truths take in a rightful place over and above our personal preferences. Amen? And you know what? When we observe many churches today, though they look like a community of people who gather with one another as they give their lives to spreading the gospel among the unreached, destitute, abandoned orphans, unwed mother, lonely widow, dying babies, sick slaves, suffering brothers and sisters around us. Instead, many churches spend the majority of time, money, spending as spectators and consumerist attitudes that cater their own comforts and spend so much money for their own personal uplifting programs and projects for their own personal gathering? Or are we just the same with those churches? You know what? I'm so blessed as the missions pastor of this church, serving in the area of missions ministry together with the missions team Save and Send. Our church not only supports global missions like our dear sisters, Beverly, who are now serving in India. You know, India is a persecuted country. So we are supporting her there. So let's continue to pray for Beverly. But also, supports our local missions work here. Because the moment God put me here in this church in 2015, I've seen the mighty work of God upon this church. And by the grace of God, He gave me such privilege and opportunity to lead the missions ministry. And praise be to God, the Lord used us as a church to be a blessing to our community here in Cebu City. And that we are able to share the gospel and help our community. Have you seen in the picture? This is what we are doing in the community. And not only in the community, we are also ministering to our uniformed personnel, to the military, and to the PNP or the police. And also ministering to our schools, doing a campus ministry. Not only to the students, but to the teachers. You know, ministering to the students is just limited. But ministering to that teacher, imagine, one teacher, there will be 20,000 students nga muagi sa ilang kinabuhi. Imagine, if we impact just one teacher, he or she will impact 20,000 students as well. And not only that, also, we are empowering other churches. So we praise God that aside from beautifying our church to cater more people to draw near to Christ, no, nag-overflow na ato ang church, and praying that someday, kani, ma-expand pagyud ta, mudaghan, no, mo-attend sa church. So aside of beautifying our church, at the same time, we are also reaching more people for Christ. Hallelujah. But the challenge may be for you. What role in this church are you involved with? What role in this church are you involved with? Or are you praying or supporting those who go for missions work? Or are you just sitting there waiting and keep receiving as if you are taking a vacation in the cruise ship? Brothers and sisters, a missions-minded Christians prioritizes the cross over himself or herself. Second, a missional church sacrifices for mission. A missional church sacrifices for mission. So Jesus, for the second time, initiates the conversation with the second man. "Follow me," he says. And the man responds, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Such a sympathetic response of a man to his father. But a questionable decision in following Christ. Because all he wants to do is bury his father. And something he not only wants to do, but should. Because to not give his father a proper funeral is to shame him. Yet, Jesus replied, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead." So I was just imagining, unsaon, no? "But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." You know what? I can't imagine what it was like to hear those words. Because I remember on December 25, year 2020, and it was during lockdown and a very critical moment when I unexpectedly received a call from my brother telling me that our eldest brother died. And what made it more painful, that really brought me to almost lost myself and not able to accept what happened, was the cause of his death. Because my brother died due to committing suicide. And amid with intensity of pain and indescribable sadness that day, I cannot imagine hearing this word from Jesus. "Don't even go to your brother's funeral. There are more important things to do for you to do here in Cebu." No. But what does Jesus mean by saying it? Jesus' main point is not that he is against the funeral. But what he means is his kingdom will not take second place to anyone or anything else. Because for this man, it meant immediate abandonment to an urgent mission. Even more important than honoring the dead was proclaiming the kingdom to those who were dying. Yes, when we look around outside from these four walls, there are overwhelming need of water, food, shelter, clothes, money, education, family, freedom, safety, or even equality. Yet, as we contemplate these needs, if we are not very careful, we run the risk of ignoring people's greatest need, and that is the gospel. And that's why Jesus, when he spoke to the sick man, told him exactly what he would exactly tell his disciples before he left the earth. He told them, "Go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed to all nations." Because when we look back at what Jesus did, he had spent so much time with the sick, sat with the dying, served with the impoverished. And when he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them. And such deeds that portrays a profound physical longing to provide for people with every disease and affection. Yet, his last words to his disciples were just like first word to this man. In light of worldly suffering, over and above everything else, Jesus was calling them to speak. However, Jesus knew that as great as people's earthly needs were, their eternal need far more greater. And that's why when a paralytic was brought to him, Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So Jesus used this opportunity to teach a man and the people around him that the priority of his coming was not to elevate the suffering, was not to elevate poverty, but his ultimate priority in coming to this world was to address the root of suffering, the root of our problem, and that is sin itself. And that this is ours and everyone's greatest need. Ultimately, all the people have sinned against God and separated from God. So as a result, our lives and the lives of our loved ones are at stake here on earth and eternity. Imagine heaven and hell is waiting for us. But God made a way for all people to be reconciled to Him through life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And those who respond in believing and repenting of sins will experience eternal life. Yet, those who will reject Him will suffer in hell. This is the message of the gospel. And this is what people must need to hear. Not your money. Not your status. Not your achievement. But the gospel. Interestingly, the original word in Greek history, the word gospel, was not originally a religious word. It is referred to any announcement of good news. For example, if a Greek general won a battle, he would send back a gospel about his victory. No longer need you live in fear. I have won the battle. You are free. So church, the Christian gospel is an announcement about the victory of Christ accomplished. It is finished. Tetelestai. Paid in full. We are now free indeed. Hallelujah. And thus, our ministry begins with and focus on testifying to what Christ has done. So church, any service to our community that does not make that message clear, we only give them false hope. We only give them false hope. Acts of kindness apart from the gospel only make people more comfortable on their way to hell. Acts of kindness apart from the gospel only make people more comfortable to hell. So we who know the gospel have been given the greatest gift in all the world. We have the good news of a glorious God who has come to deliver men and women and children from all sin and all suffering for all time. Therefore, we cannot and we must not stay silent with this gospel. Because gospel positions requires gospel proclamation. Again, gospel positions requires gospel proclamations. That's what David Platt says. So participating in missions work, if all we do is met people's physical needs while ignoring the spiritual needs, we just miss the entire point. And sometimes, this is exactly what we settle for. We do so because it's easier and less costly for us. Diba? Kaya naman itong, sa Facebook, sa YouTube, dagan kayong pakita nga, mahatag something. Nga, kuha din picture and selfie, no? Just to show off themselves. For what? Para na sila yung money in return. You know, to be clear, giving food to the poor is not contingent upon that person's confession of faith in Christ. Loving our neighbor as ourselves does not limit giving in this way. Instead, giving food to the poor is accompanied by sharing the good news of the gospel. You know what? Last month, as you remember, we were able to distribute relief goods to those people in Pangamihan, Toledo. No? And I was just joking with the team nga, moad to taning a lugar, we will just walk maybe mga 5 kilometers. I was shocked because nagtinood man. Siguro more than 5 kilometers pa. And I just told them nga, naay tulo ka, mountains nga, ato ang baktason. Tulo ba, oy? Naabot ba 5? It's really so, lisod, layo de kayo. And I was just, at first, I was carrying 1 sack of rice. Human sa usak, abuntod. Surrender. So tiring. But you know what? Then we have this opportunity to through the connection of our brother, no? Brother Dexter, who is a soldier, and sister Mardi, who is a nurse. And we have this opportunity to distribute relief goods to them because, as we heard after Odette, people there hardly manage their lives after the storm. In fact, even until now, some of their houses are not yet fixed. Their coconut trees no longer seen. Muingon ko, mujoko sometimes nga, dami kaon butong, no? Nga, wa makay makita nga lubi. And their plants and visibles are at stake. So with that, we have the opportunity. We gathered 50 families and to receive those relief goods. And there are more than 200 individuals present that day. And what we are grateful to God was we were able to proclaim the gospel. And they responded in faith. And consequently, after 2 weeks, we were able to have a Bible study among them. Like this afternoon, after the service, automatically, musibat na sadmi, anto dito sa Toledo. But another praise report, after we distribute the Bible from Gideon through our brother, no, Brother Stephen, who give us, sponsor us the New Testament Bible, one of them already finished reading the New Testament. But sad to say, most of them, no, referring to the adult, are not able to read and to write. So they were not able to finish their elementary studies. So that's a challenge for most of them. But thankfully, they have children who were encouraged to go to school and somehow have the skill to read. So they ask their children to read the Bible. And imagine, every day, those families are reading the Bible together. So imagine, no? They have the New Testament. They already finished reading the New Testament. So was praying, they will also have the Old and New Testament ng Bible, the green one. And I praise God because last night after my preaching, I received a message that someone sponsored 40 Bibles, the old and new. Glory to God for that. You know what? Our sacrifice for missions is worth glorious to God and give us joy in return. So if God calls us to such a call of sacrifice to proclaim the gospel in all matters, we must recognize that sacrificing our pleasures, positions, and shaping our lives around getting the gospel to unreached people in the world would lead us to such eternal comfort that bring glory to God. Even to the point that they are difficult and dangerous to reach. And the cost of reaching them will be step. But the gospel compels us to step out of faith, regardless of risking our lives, our families, our future, our plans, and our positions for the sake of one reward, the proclamation of the greatest news in order to meet people's greatest need. Amen? When James Calvert went out as a missionary to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands, the ship captain tried to turn him back, saying, "You will lose your life and the lives of those with you if you go among such savages." To that, Calvert replied, "We died before we came here. We died before we came here." Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life now I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So brothers and sisters, do you consider yourself dead? Do we consider ourselves dead? Dead to our selfish ambition? Dead to our self-advancement? Dead to our selfish desires? And put others more significant than yourself in order for them to hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or just still living in your selfish life? Luke 18:22 says, "When Jesus heard this, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me.'" Third, a missional church marks with undivided heart. Again, a missional church marks with undivided hearts. So the last man approached Jesus and says, "I will follow you, Lord. But let me first say farewell to those at my home. asking a very simple request by saying goodbye to his family and friends. Yet Jesus knows as soon as this man returns to his family, the lure to stay will be strong. So he tells the man, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, what Jesus meant was, keep your attention and affection wholly fixed on me and the path I have called you to. You know what? I remember before leaving our house to follow God's calling and tell my father that I will go to Bible school, no? To study. And his response was, you will not receive a single cent from me. What a very supportive response from my father. And as I look at my mother, who was crying, knowing that she had nothing from her pocket to also to support me. Pero salamat, kinama ko'y baboy. So akong ibaligya. I have my own savings man, no? But you know what? I trusted God and even challenged God. And I told him, Lord, if you called me for the ministry, then provide my needs. Provide my needs. You know what? I praise God because since I graduated from seminary, my parents had no trouble supporting me. And it's all by His grace and the Lord's provision. Even until now, the Lord is very faithful, providing our needs. You know what? Jesus' words for this man was both clear and sovereign. In Matthew 10:35-37 says, for I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those in his own household. And whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So following Jesus doesn't just imply sacrificial abandonment of our lives. It requires supreme affections from our hearts. There's a saying that says, being on time is already late. No? Being on time is already late. So delayed obedience becomes disobedience. Delayed obedience becomes disobedience. So imagine, if walking by a lake and seeing a child drowning, would you stop and ponder what you should do? Or pray first about what action to take? Of course not, right? Without hesitation, you would jump. Katong kabaw pod mo lang, oy. Kasi niya, ikaw na yun, tabangan. So, being a church or a Christian in this fallen world, I wonder if we're so apathetic to this broken world. Hearing millions upon millions of men and women, children are starving and dying without food and water. Numbers of babies have been aborted. Orphanages, foster homes, and streets filled with boys and girls abandoned by their parents. Widows, and with mothers and single moms without jobs, homes, and money to support their family. Hundreds or thousands of young women are sitting in the corner, waiting for customers to rape them. You know, one time I attempt to negotiate with one young woman nearby sa kanang restaurant just to investigate if tinuod ba na. So I asked her, why are you doing this? She simply replied, kaya walay pagkaon akong pamilya. O walay pampers akong anak. So, a lot of them, Lapu-Lapu, Mandawi, Cebu, in every corner. And many of the less fortunate peoples are neglected by the community, abused by the power of government or their employers. So what are we doing as a church? Seeing this is what's happening in our world today, in our city, Will you just sit there and think about what to do? Will you just pull a paper and write plans or strategize a system unsaon pa ni unsay buhaton? What will you do? Listen. Seeing this broken world while we contemplate the gospel, the good news about Jesus, over 1 billion people in the world have never heard the gospel. Yes, these people are suffering from the depths of scarcity and problems. But these people are also waiting to hear the good news of how God's love for them in Christ can satisfy them on earth and save them for eternity. So I'm not saying this to condemn you for not doing anything or convict you for being apathetic. What I mean is that we need to be certain that God alone is able to bear these global burdens. He alone has the emotional framework to perceive the world as perceives it. But church, the reason we are gathered here as a church is not an end in itself. But the goal of the church is to go and make disciples, proclaim the good news, and help people find their way back to God. So we cannot live with indifferent and inaction, having this love we have in Christ. But we act and live as if every single drop of our blood is being given to those who need it. Amen? When Adoniram Hudson graduated from college and seminary, he received a call from a fashionable church in Boston to become its assistant pastor. So everyone can congratulate him. His mother and his sister rejoiced that he could live at home with them and do his life work. But Hudson shook his head. "My work is not here." And he said, "God is calling me beyond the seas to stay here, even to serve God in ministry. I would be only partial obedience. I could not be happy in that." So it cost him a great struggle. He left his mother and sister to follow the heavenly call. And you know what? Hudson's churches in Burma have had 50,000 converts. And the influence of his consecrated life is felt around the world because he followed his calling to follow Christ with undivided heart for reaching out the lost. So his sacrifice worth dying for the sake of the gospel. So let's think for a moment after the service or even during this time. So just think about whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So the question is your affection for the lost is far more greater than your family? Is your affection for the lost far more greater than your family? Will you consider following Christ on behalf of your family? Or will you consider death to yourself, dead to yourself, and take up his cross daily and follow him? David Platt says, "The accomplishment of the Great Commission will include great suffering, but eternity will prove that eternity was worth it." Amen? Therefore, as a missional church, we prioritize the cross over ourselves. We are more than willing to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel and fully surrender our undivided hearts for the advancement of His kingdom. So to end, let me impart you at least 3 practical ways to act it out as a missional church or as a missional Christian. First, by praying to God. Second, by proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And third, by participating with God to reach out the lost. So let me just expound it shortly. First, pray. Luke 10:2-3 says, "And he said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, go. Therefore, do this.'" What he said? "Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. So this is ultimately the most simple and significant thing we can do in light of what's happening to our fallen world. Because these battles ultimately belongs to the Lord. And He wills for us to participate with Him in the accomplishment of His purpose through prayer. So let's plead for God's mercy to be made manifest amid these overwhelming needs around us. Knowing that none of our prayers are in vain. So as we pray to God, we also pray for those who are used by God. Especially, we are partnering with the Open Doors. They sent out week by week prayers, especially those persecuted churches. And also pray to the lost to open their hearts for the gospel. Seek and proclaim. Romans 10 verses 14 to 15 says, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So as we pray, may our prayers then lead to audacity in proclaiming the gospel of Christ to advance God's kingdom on earth by proclaiming the good news, whether at your workplace, at home, schools, hospitals, businesses, or any place God puts you right now. And third, participate. Matthew 28:18-20 says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So the Great Commission isn't a call for some, but for all Christians. It is a mandate that we should obey. Maybe God is calling you to be part of the missions team or to support the missions work. So you can participate by supporting our local missions in spreading the gospel to our community or in our city. Because we do need more people to help us propagate the good news of Christ to our city. By your help or by your support, by attending both physical needs and spiritual needs of those who need it. So the missions team are waiting for you outside to sign up after the service. No? Kay dili makauli, basta dili mag-sign up. Or maybe, God is calling you to serve in cross-cultural missions or international missions. So we have different mission agency partners who are willing to train and equip you as well. So you may also approach me after the service. No? If you're interested to be part of especially global missions, no? Like muadto sa laing lugar. So we have one prospect na. I told Pastor TJ ganiya nga, Pastor TJ, my prayer nga muadto tag India. Sige. Adto ta Banilad. Sa place sila ni Ate Michelle, there's a lot of Indian people there that we need to reach out. Let's start there. Or if the Lord is not calling you to go for missions, but He is calling you to a specific calling, and that is to participate through giving as a financial supporter for the mission's work. Because our service cannot be more effective without the help of your support to help those people who are in need and to sustain the ministry. So therefore, participating in God's mandate is necessary, either going down the well or holding the rope for those who go down the well. Amen? Shall we all stand as we close in prayer? Lord God, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you for your message, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for reminding us how it is to be your follower, who will genuinely save by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we who receive this gospel, Lord, will not live indifferent and in action for not proclaiming the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ to the lost. And you are the one who is passionately declaring and manifesting your glory to all people, Lord, in different ways, in different time. And we thank you as you brought us here in this church, Lord, as your instrument to participate with your consummate passion for the lost and declaring your glory, Lord. So grant us, Lord, a desire to pray without ceasing for your desire to be our desire, your consummate passion to be our ultimate passion for the lost. And Lord, grant an audacity and boldness within us to preach the good news of Christ in our workplace, our home, or any place where you put us, Lord. And to participate in ways to be part of the missions work in our local community or international missions. And if such calling is not for us, Lord, but you bless us with manifold blessings. So Lord, grant within us a generous heart to participate, to fulfill the Great Commission in ways by supporting the mission's work. And seeing the beauty of serving together, granted by your mercy and grace that your name will be glorified and magnified in all tribe, nation, and language, and people. And may your sons and daughters, Lords, will continue to live a life holy and acceptable before you. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.